Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Unity is our strength. That's what the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said in response to Donald Trump's tariffs announcement. But clear divisions are now emerging amongst EU countries about when and how strongly the bloc should respond. Let's talk through the various options now available to the EU and what they would mean for Ireland. Simon McAllister is here. He's co-head of geopolitical strategy at EY Ireland. Simon, you're very welcome. Thanks for being here. Hitting back, in your own view, with your assessment of what's happened over the last 24, 48 hours, is it the right thing to do or not from the EU's perspective?
Well, I think what we've been hearing from clients is that they want certainty. So certainty, ironically, we're actually in slightly better position now than we were at the start of the week in terms of the amount of uncertainty. We still have the uncertainty around what the response will be. So I think what people will want to see is that from an Irish perspective, we continue to build in the way that we have in the past, make sure that the Irish voice is heard in terms of where responses will hit. But some of this comes down to the politics of it, and I'll leave that to the politicians. But it's difficult to predict what the response will be because we're not sure what the US views as success, first of all. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at it from the point of view of a trade deficit. They will want to get those deficits down in terms of the exporters. Our view of success is quite straightforward, which is we need that 20% tariff to be reduced. So, you've mentioned the unanimity or recent lack of it. I think the EU have been quite consistent over the last couple of months. So since President Trump was inaugurated, they've been preparing for this. They've always said that they'll be quite reflective, which is what they've said in the last couple of days, that they'll take a reasoned and balanced approach, by which they probably mean a slightly more technical and technocratic response than what we've seen initially in terms of the US tariff basis, and that they are getting ready potentially for a trade war, but that they know that that's in no one's interest.
Right, because it's difficult to know, as you say. I mean, we have certainty around what the level of tariffs will be on the broad spectrum, but we don't know whether negotiation is going to be welcomed by the Americans or not. And I was saying this to Michael McGrath. You know, you have Donald Trump's son saying on one hand, I wouldn't like to be the last country in to negotiate, the first country in wins. Then you have some of his other representatives, Peter Navarro, saying this is not a negotiation.
I think if you look at the basis on which they've calculated the tariffs, that might be one guide to it. So it's not a very technical methodology. People have taken issue with it, which in some respects doesn't matter because it is what it is. It's the way they view the world. It's not the actual tariffs. They've taken just the deficit as a proportion of people's exports, which takes in the full range of how countries trade with the US. That's a quite a broad approach, which means there's probably a broad discussion to be had with them, potentially. Mm-hmm. And they will, you know, and President Trump has always been very clear that he views himself as a negotiator and he's willing to have those conversations. So I think in the first instance, it will be a negotiation. I'm not sure the timing point, whether, you know, the last in, it's not necessarily a zero-sum game. Each country and each trading region will have their own issues and their own objectives to get to. So I think it is a question of having that negotiation, which is what President von der Leyen has pointed to in the first instance, of having a negotiation followed by countermeasures if required.
But they want the money from the tariffs. I mean, they've said that very clearly. They need the cash to reduce their own deficit. This is the United States. They also want the jobs to come back. So if they negotiate and reduce those tariffs, they can't achieve those aims.
It's not fully consistent. I think if you were to try and parse all of the statements, the reality is, from an economic point of view, the amount of tariffs that they would raise is not enough to do what they want to do in terms of, you know, national debt reduction or reducing income tax, which is some of the things that President Trump has mentioned. He's been very clear that bringing back jobs, rejuvenating some of the states that have suffered from the loss of manufacturing over the last few decades is probably one of the bigger objectives. So I think that probably would be the relatively higher priority, that they would, you know, accept a lower level of collection from it if they were to get the reshoring and onshoring of jobs that they're looking for, which isn't going to be easy to do and it isn't a quick result either.
Yeah, and you've heard what Ursula von der Leyen says, you know, we have a lot of cards to play. What are the cards that we have?
Well, if you just take the technocratic piece first, which is, you know, and the EU is very good at that technocratic piece, there is a lot of technical instruments that the EU can use. So even over the last couple of months, they've been opening new investigations into, not into the US now, but into other trading partners. They have different technical measures that they can introduce to progress this. All very technical, but quite slow. They also require, some of them require a qualified majority at an EU level, which, as we know, would take some time to get and isn't a guaranteed outcome. So they will go that technical approach. They have, from the first Trump administration, tariffs already in effect. So they had applied those to things like Harley-Davidson's, orange juice, calibrated to be politically impactful in terms of where those sectors were based. They did have a second list that was ready but had been suspended, which again has been calculated from the dual lens of where can they exert political pressure in the US, in swing states in particular, and what gets them to a sufficiently large value that it's going to be impactful in terms of the negotiation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but those options sound slow and cumbersome. I mean, we've got to look at how it's going to work for Canada, for example, to retaliate quickly and hard and tough and see how that plays for them. Might that be the best strategy, to sit back and look at how that situation develops?
I do think there's value in that. I think waiting, you know, again, as the EU have suggested they'll do, waiting to see what happens if a country comes out with a very strong approach to try and effectively go toe-to-toe with the US. Mm-hmm. Canada may have felt like they don't have a choice in that, because they are, along with Mexico, you know, the biggest trading partners in the US and the ones who are being very significantly impacted by it as well. But I think we can even go back to some of our lessons in big disruptions that we've had in the last 10 years, like COVID and like Brexit in particular. Brexit was a time when, you know, our clients struggled with a lot of uncertainty. And they got better at trying to work out, when do we wait and see what will happen and when do we actually do something? And we talk a lot with our clients about no regret actions, things that they can do that will just make a positive change, either getting a better understanding of something or making changes based on what you do know, rather than waiting for perfect information.
And this question then around big tech. And again, we were talking to Michael McGrath about this earlier. France and Germany out of the traps yesterday, saying, look, this is where we can go to if we need to. It's a real threat, isn't it, to the United States, that that's what they might do. Now, we don't want that to happen, because the impact would be felt here more than anywhere else, it's likely. Do you think that is something, if France and Germany exert enough pressure, that the EU will follow through on?
I think if we go back again to the point around our past success, we've managed very well. The Irish governments of over the last couple of decades have managed very well to make sure that Irish voice is heard. And you'd hope that will continue. And we've heard the Taoiseach's comments this morning. I think the question potentially is it actually the right approach from an EU point of view? Because tech, we know, is a sector that would hit them hard. That's, you know, given the scale of it. But we know it's one that they view with a lot of sensitivity.
Yeah.
And it has been mentioned by them in the past. They do see the EU as being a threat or a problem for their tech sector, because they view us as being overly regulating those industries, as slowing down innovation. And their response to that could be worse than what we would achieve in terms of putting that pressure on it.
Right. And then the impact on American consumers. I mean, there are those who would say, wait until this has an impact on how much people have to spend, on pensions, on jobs in the United States. And once the reality of that hits home with Donald Trump, this will change. Do you subscribe to that view, that perhaps that's all we need to do here?
I think to a level. I mean, we have to remember the US political system is very different to to ours and to others in Europe. That pressure will be felt in different ways there compared to how it would be here. The points around inflation and everything else are absolutely true, though, and we do expect a fairly immediate impact. So our chief economist in the US overnight has calculated that US growth would be 1%, one percentage point lower in 25. So a very immediate reduction. Inflation could be just over 1% higher in 25 as well. Having made the progress they've made over 23 and 24 and bringing inflation down, and it was a big political issue and an election issue for them, that inflation would push up again. And then absolutely, you mentioned pensions. So stock markets, so the US stock market alone lost $2.5 trillion in value yesterday. It's going to be down again today based on European trading. people are trading stock markets, but the bulk of that is institutional money, it's pension money, and people will feel that in due course when they're checking their pension balances in the UK, or excuse me, in the US.
Right, well, it sounds like it's a waiting game, Simon. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. That is Simon McAllister, who is co-head of geopolitical strategy at EY Ireland. We will take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.